This is Ringler Radio, where you get all the latest news and information about settlement solutions, litigation, mediation, and structured financial security from Ringler, the largest and most experienced company of settlement consultants in the United States. Ringler has been helping injured people and their families since 1975. Ringler Radio is made possible in part by American General, Liberty Mutual, MetLife, Mutual of Omaha, New York Life, Pacific Life, and Prudential. Now join Ringler Radio host Larry Cohen.
Well, hello and welcome to Ringler Radio, everyone. I'm Larry Cohen, the head of Ringler's Northeast Operations, and we're certainly glad you could join us again today. Well, the World Health Organization has declared exposure to benzene a major public health concern. The chemical has been linked to the development of acute myeloid leukemia, myelodysplastic syndrome, various lymphomas, and aplastic anemia, among others. And in many of these cases, exposure can be linked back to the workplace. So today we'll be discussing the health risks associated with benzene exposure with attorney John Tomlinson from the Beasley Allen Law Firm in Montgomery, Alabama. John's a member of Beasley Allen's Toxic Torts section, and his practice focuses on cases involving individuals who sustain toxic injuries from chemical exposure, particularly from benzene, and he's currently working on litigation involving cancer victims with occupational and environmental exposure. So with all that, welcome to the show, John. Great to have you here on Ringler Radio.
Thanks a lot, Larry. Glad to be here.
Terrific. And joining me today as co-host is my friend and Ringler colleague, Keith Christie. Based in New Orleans, Keith has over 30 years of insurance and structured settlements experience. And with that, I'll say welcome to the show again as co-host, Keith. Always good to have you.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you, John.
Great. Okay, well, John, benzene is a harsh chemical. It's used in a number of industries. So tell us a little bit about benzene and some of the health risks associated with its exposure.
Well, benzene has been around for a very, very long time. It was around in the early 1900s. People were using it as a solvent. It occurs naturally in the environment. Any oil or gas that comes from the ground has some benzene in it. But through the years, in an occupational setting where workers are enclosed, they're in direct contact with benzene, there have been a lot of bad things that have happened as far as workers developing diseases. There have been a lot of studies in the past, going back to the early 1900s, that connect benzene exposure with cancer. So it's been around a long time, and unfortunately, it's been around too long. And I think that's what we as attorneys are trying to bring to light.
Yeah, no question about that.
John, let me ask you, while we're on that topic, can you describe what type of industries, you know, where this benzene has been, you know, occurring as far as the you see where these claims are coming from?
Yes. As I said, most of the petroleum, people that work in the petroleum industry, whether or not that is the drilling or that is the refineries or either that is, you know, hauling gasoline and loading and unloading gasoline on tankers, you know, a lot of dock workers that are exposed to ships coming in with petroleum products and benzene, you know, a lot of factories, plastic factories, rubber factories have our workers are exposed to benzene. And also, you know, your local painter that has gone around and painted, whether it be automobiles or houses for, you know, 15 or 20 years, and that's all he's done. He's worked with paints. He's gotten solvents on his hands. He's rinsed off with the paint off of his hands with lacquer thinner for several years. You've also got the local mechanics who work with different solvents and fixing cars, diesel mechanics. Those type of people that are around those types of solvents, you know, day in and day out for a number of hours a day, you know, over a period of a lifetime, they've built up quite a bit of benzene exposure.
That's no question. And that extended exposure over that time period has led to some real issues. And benzene exposure has been, I guess, linked to the development of several serious diseases. So tell us about the diseases that are linked to benzene and some of the testing that's been done to kind of, you know, show the link.
Sure. The disease or condition that's been connected to benzene the most is acute myeloid leukemia, AML. There are tests and studies that go back many, many years that connect that disease with benzene exposure. It's not quite like a mesothelioma diagnosis to asbestos. That's the only way you can get mesothelioma is through asbestos. There are other ways that you can get AML, but there's a strong tie there to benzene, and there's always been a strong tie that even the companies and the manufacturers of these products have known for many, many years. There are some other conditions, myeloid, multiple myeloma, aplastic anemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. There are other lymphomas and leukemias that are in smaller groups, but there is scientific proof that even these conditions can be caused by benzene exposure.
John, while we're on that subject, can I ask you, there's been some extreme benzene cases that are not diagnosed until later, making it difficult to connect these diseases to benzene exposure. Can you explain those type of cases?
Yes. Yes. You know, a lot of people think, okay, people are exposed, have acute exposure where they get a lot of it on them, or either they ingest it or, you know, they have a huge spill and they get soaked with it. You know, that's of course a way that you can be exposed to benzene and get harmful effects. But, you know, studies have proven that the day-to-day routine of handling benzene products damages your chromosomes, damages your cells. As those cells multiply through the years, it has a latent effect on your body. You may have been exposed to, just like you may have been exposed to asbestos many, many years ago and then developed mesothelioma, you may have worked in an oil refinery for you know, 10 to 12 years, and then it took another 15 or 20 years for your body to reach a point of those damaged cells multiplying to where you do come down with a condition such as acute myeloid leukemia. So this is really a latent disease, you know, that is brought on by many years of exposure. And then, you know, a lot of these people retire from the factory. They work hard all their lives. They retire. They look forward to the golden age of being retired and being with their families, and then they tragically come down with a disease like acute myeloid leukemia, and ultimately these diseases are very severe and can cause death.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that's a big part of your practice, going back and trying to trace the connection between what they did in the past and their current situation with their disease, and making sure those links occur that can be proven. So that's, I'm sure, a big part of it. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be coming right back in just a minute, right here on Ringler Radio, with our guest John Tomlinson. We'll be right back.
This is Ringler Radio, brought to you from Ringler, the nation's leading provider of fair settlement solutions. Did you know that Ringler is involved in a third of all structured settlement cases in the country? Ringler advisors work with all the parties in a lawsuit settlement to find the best possible financial solution for the people involved. Everybody wins. There's a Ringler consultant in all the major cities of the U.S. No one has more experienced experts in the settlement business than Ringler. Check out our website at www.ringlerassociates.com for the best information for injured parties, attorneys, and claims professionals to find the Ringler advisor nearest you. When it's your interest at stake in a lawsuit settlement, you want only the best, most objective financial plan. You can count on Ringler Advisors to create a customized plan that meets the financial needs of you and your family for the future. Visit RinglerAssociates.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Ringler Radio. My co-host Keith Christie and I are discussing the health risks associated with benzene exposure with our special guest, attorney John Tomlinson from the Beasley Allen Law Firm in Montgomery, Alabama. John, you know, you represent cancer victims who've experienced both occupational and environmental exposure to benzene. And how do you approach your litigation strategy in these different kinds of cases?
Well, basically, you're in both cases, both types of cases, you are looking for you know, the condition, the disease that is more times than not connected to some type of chemical or benzene exposure. Once you identify that condition, then you look back at work history. If there's nothing in work history that would explain some type of benzene exposure, you then look at their environment when they go home. You know, is there a factory or is there something, a refinery or something close to where they live that may have gotten into the water table? Are they drinking from a well on their land? Are they getting water that way? So from an environmental perspective, you're looking more of, you know, where does this person live? What is he around? From an occupational standpoint, you really want to look at work history, what their profession is. You know, what are they exposed to? And then once you kind of key in on, okay, well, this guy is a painter or this guy is a mechanic, then you go into more detailed questions about, okay, well did you use lacquer thinner to clean off? What type of paint were you using? How often did you use it? How close were you to the painting? You know, those are some questions that you can ask the client and try to determine, okay, based on this information and length of exposure, you know, could an expert be able to testify and connect those two, and then you move forward, hopefully, with a case.
That's good, John. Thank you. But let me ask you, you talked earlier about the aspects of the industry and what type of businesses kind of people are receiving these claims from. Can you tell us a little bit about who the defendants are in these cases? And once again, maybe follow up with who the employers are?
Yes. Generally, if the person, your client that you're interviewing has retired or is no longer working at a certain facility or an employer, then, you know, technically the employer could be a potential defendant. If the person is still working there, then it may be more of a workers' compensation claim for the client against the employer. What we really try to do in those circumstances is, because we don't do workers' compensation law, we try to look at the brand name products that they may have used when they were employed at that business. A lot of these defendants, you know, or petroleum manufacturers, Exxon, BP, different oil companies that provide certain solvents to these businesses. Also, if a guy is a painter that works at a certain business, what brand paints did he use? And those manufacturers such as PPG, Sherwin-Williams, Valspar, if they use lacquer thinner, what kind of lacquer thinner? Was it DuPont lacquer thinner? Those are the type of things you look at to identify defendants. You definitely want to identify the products. And then if they are no longer working at that facility, you could legitimately go after the employers for not warning and not providing them with adequate safety equipment, which caused their exposure.
So to add to that, would it be coverage B under the workers' compensation, or are you going as far as the employer, you know, to try to stay outside the aspect of statutory issues?
I think you try to stay outside of that aspect. You'd have to look at each state's or the law on workers' compensation and try to determine whether that would fall under workers' compensation. More times than not, we tend to try to avoid the workers' compensation aspect. There may be other attorneys that want to handle that part of it, but we always look for, you know,
You're the product claim.
We have the product's liability claim, so we tend to look for the manufacturer of the product.
There you go. Well, bottom line, though, in looking at all these environmental workplace and occupational arenas where this benzene exposure occurs, What do you think is being done? I mean, you've handled these cases for a while. What is being done in the workplace to prevent this type of exposure? I mean, I know OSHA probably has a lot of rules, but what is going on that would hopefully ameliorate some of these problems?
Well, since the late 1970s, there have been efforts to try to reduce the amount of benzene that are in different raw materials that are used in certain products. A lot of the manufacturers in these cases will say, well, you know, our product doesn't contain benzene. It contains toluene, or it contains hexane or xylene. It doesn't really contain raw benzene. Well, all of those chemicals are basically derivatives of benzene. And so even though it may not be benzene, there are amounts of benzene still in those products. And if you use it enough, those small quantities or doses can become, you know, large enough to be attributable to these diseases. So, but they're not as bad as using raw benzene. If they were using raw benzene instead of some of these other solvents, it would be worse. So I think the industry has moved more towards using some alternatives to benzene, but they still don't do enough to completely eliminate benzene in these derivatives. They don't warn sufficiently. You know, there should be a warning on the products that say that it can cause cancer, and not just cause cancer if you have a spill or drink it or get it, you know, pour it on top of your head, but that you can get cancer by using it the way it was intended to be used every day by some of these painters and workers that go out every day and have daily exposure. You can get cancer that way as well. So I think there needs to be better warnings.
Interesting. Well, the other thing that should be mentioned to the audience is that as much as John is helping plaintiffs pursue these claims, sometimes they're not as easy as they sound to prove. I mean, if John, I'm sure you've watched the movie A Civil Action, which had to do with water supply up in Woburn, Massachusetts, where a big legal fight took place about these cluster of individuals getting leukemia and this toxic chemicals being poured into this water supply. And yet at the end of the day, couldn't be proven in some fashion. Tell us about the frustrations you have like that.
Well, it is frustrating. You do have to, in these cases, you do have to prove two different prongs of a test. You've got to prove general causation, that this chemical can in fact cause the condition, which in most cases, benzene has a long history of studies that are attributable to cancer. So that's not as big of a step. But then you've got to prove specific causation, where you are going to that individual and not only just proving that it can cause this condition, but you have to prove that it did cause this particular condition with this particular plaintiff. So that is really a step that you really need experts to come in. And, you know, like in one instance, let's say it's a mechanic. You would need to know, you know, what he used, how many times a day he used it, how often did he get it on his hands, you know, how often or how long he was spraying the aerosol. And then an industrial hygienist can really look at that, look at the building he was in. You know, what were the circumstances? Was it in an enclosed area? Was it an open area? And the industrial hygienist expert can then kind of map out, you know, what the levels of exposure are for this particular person. Those are very helpful to do. And then the physicians or the experts that are experts on these conditions can come in and say, well, based on that amount of exposure, I believe that the condition was caused by benzene.
No question about that. And so to sum up here, if someone out there knows somebody or is familiar with anybody who might have been exposed to benzene, what should be their next steps if they suspect that?
Well, I think they should immediately contact an attorney, because a lot of times I run into situations where someone will get an illness, and you know, and naturally they're going to be focused on the illness and trying to get well, trying to stay alive, which they should do. But a lot of times they will wait too late. They will wait, you know, more than 2 or 3 years after they've been diagnosed, and then they start thinking, okay, well, I want to contact an attorney about, you know, my benzene exposure. Well, in a lot of states, your statute of limitations may run, which is the time frame that you have to bring a legal claim. So people need to be aware that when they are diagnosed and then they become aware that benzene could potentially have been the cause of their cancer, I think they need to immediately contact someone to provide them with legal advice on what the next step should be.
Well, that's excellent advice. And in keeping with that advice, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, John, how would they do that?
Well, you can look us, our firm, up on the internet, on our website at www.BeasleyAllen.com. And then you could call me directly at Beasley Allen at 1-800-898-2034.
Well, that's good advice. And again, John, you've been terrific with all the information you've given to us today. Keith, if someone wanted to if someone wanted to contact you, Keith, how would they do that?
They can contact me on my cell phone at area code 504-616-6263. They can also go to the Ringler website and look for Keith Christie. We service Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Well, that's terrific. And let me just say for everyone else out there who want to get in touch with any of the Ringler Associates to help them with structured settlements or any other issue in the insurance and legal claim environment, go to Ringler's website, ringlerassociates.com. You can find us all on that site, even some pretty pictures out there of all of us are on that website. Right, Keith?
Correct.
Well, in any event, you can also see and hear all the Ringler Radio shows on the Ringler website. And you can go to ringlerradio.com or legaltalknetwork.com or go to iTunes, where you can download and listen at your leisure on your device, and your phone, your device. And with that, I want to say, John, thank you very much again for being a great guest.
Thank you for having me.
Terrific. And Keith, for being a great co-host.
Thank you so much.
And for the rest of you out
there,
I just want to wish everyone else out there, stay safe, stay dry, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer. Thanks for listening to Ringler Radio, celebrating more than a decade of podcasting and over 2 million listeners. Think of Ringler, the objective settlement advisors with more than 140 consultants in 60 cities nationwide. Visit RinglerAssociates.com today.